I've got a question as we start, and I'm going to ask you this question throughout the day today. I want to tell you that I will challenge you today. How many like a good challenge? How many like a church where they will not call you out, but call you up? I'm going to say that again. Thank you for that. Amen. How many like a church that not only are not going to call you out, but they're going to call you up? So, but before we start, I have this question. Here's my question. What if you could do something small, and that small move, whatever it was, I'll give you a couple examples in a minute, had a huge positive consequence? Small thing had a huge. What if you can invest $1,000, and in a year, that $1,000 would turn into $10,000. How many would figure out a way to get $1,000? I'm asking, how many of you would find, so I won't go to those, how many would figure out a way to find $1,000? You'd get motivated real quick, would you? Watch this. How many of you, not even about yourself, about others, how many, let me give you a couple examples. How many of you, if, let's say, a small thing, but has a huge positive factor. So you're going to Walmart, and you know how it is. You can hardly find any parking, but you look and see, oh my goodness, there's a parking spot. It's right there. It's right up front. And about the same time, but not as fast as you, a little later, just 3 seconds later, another car comes up there. And you know you were there before they were. But for whatever reason, you say, no, you go ahead and take it. Now, some of you look at me like, Pastor, I don't do that. Okay, we're moving right along. Okay, here's all I'm saying. What if you did that small, and you know the truth is, that's just a small act of kindness. But what if in doing that, watch this, they got out of their car, and they walked in Walmart, and when they walked in, the confetti, balloons fall down. They are the 10 billionth customer into Walmart, and now they get a check for $1 million. Now, before you go, oh, that could have been me. No. All I'm saying is, what if you could do a small act of kindness, and that small act of kindness over a period of time had huge positive ramifications? Okay, let me give him one more. I'm just making these up. What if somebody invited you to Dodger Stadium? You're not really a sports person. You're not a baseball guy. You know what I mean? I mean, Dodgers are okay, but you're not like, you know what? You're like, okay, well, whatever. You just mainly went for the fellowship. You know what I mean? Like I told you, Marilyn used to get real good Dodger tickets, and she didn't get them all the time, but she'd call me every once in a while, and she'd take, and I'd be like, oh, let me think about it for a second. Yes, you know what I mean? But they'd go to the ball game, and they would, you know, Tamara, her, and me, and they're not even watching the ball game. You know, they're just eating Doritos or something. You know what I mean? Not paying, just talking. But I'd be like, okay, so you're sitting next. You don't really care about the game, but you're sitting next to, and you're way up there in the bleachers, way, way up high, you know, nosebleed area. But the person next to you is full on Dodgered out. You know what I mean? Half their, you know what, face painted blue, half it painted white. You know what I mean? They got that big dorky, you know, LA cap on. You know what I mean? They're just fully into it. You know what I mean? They got the pom-poms, the whole thing, they're into it. You know what? And they have the thing that they do sometimes, you know what? You know, come to the front row. And they pick somebody up way up there, and they get to sit right down front. And they're reading, you know, section 2, you know what, row 8, you know what, boom, boom, seat 3. And you're like, that's me. You know what I mean? But you don't really care. You don't really, I mean, no, they got hot dogs up there too, right? You don't really care about that. But you look over and that crazy Dodger fan next to you, you just say, I don't really care. You can have my ticket. And what are they? You're like, yeah, okay. You say, well, that's not a big ramification. Okay, I get that. But what if, in the course of time, they go down there, and guess who they're sitting next to? They're sitting next to Magic Johnson. And you didn't know any of this. And in the course of time, they have a child who's going through a disease, and all they need is a, you know what, all they need is a surgery. Or maybe their child has one of those palates that are, you know, messed up. How many of stuff like that is pretty big, you know what, in high school, in junior high, in elementary school? And they, in the course of time, he's talking to Magic Johnson. He shows Magic Johnson a picture. He's bragging about his kids, shows a picture of kid. And Magic says, oh, my goodness, I don't mean to be forward. Can I take care of that? Because I know one of the top surgeons in Los Angeles, and I'll pay for everything. And all you did was something that seemed not like a big deal. I'm just asking. I'm going to ask you this throughout the service. And I'll tell you, I'm setting you up right now. What if you could do something, a small act of kindness, but that small act of kindness in the course of time would have a huge ramification? Would you do it? I'm asking, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Would you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Mickey, they're saying yes. I'm not twisting anybody's arm. I'm not, okay. But can I tell you what? You said yes before you know what it is. Let me go through the things that I'm going to ask you to do. And I'll tell you why it's going to have a huge ramification. Okay. I'm going to ask you to do some things. And it become your lifestyle of how you function when you're at Hope. My sermon title is this, and it's important you understand the sermon title. It's this: how can we walk in love, really important, at Hope? Because I have a list of things that we can do when you come Sunday, and they're going to be small. I know you don't know anybody like this. You ever know somebody and a small thing seems like a big thing? They make a big deal out of a little thing. Somebody, come on. You ever know anybody like that? Okay. How many know I'm setting you up? You ever been like that? You know, and it's whoa. It's a little thing. No. I'm gonna show you some scripture. We shouldn't act like that. We should keep little things, little things. Amen. All right. So let's talk about walking in love for a minute, and then I'm going to get to my list, which is an awesome list. let's talk about the importance of walking in love. First of all, Jesus. Did Jesus know anything about walking in love? Okay, let's turn to this scripture. It's in, or we have it up on the screen. It's Matthew chapter 22. This is Jesus talking, starting with verse 36. What he says, teacher, they call Jesus teacher. It's great teacher, the best. So they called him teacher. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, what they're really asking is, teacher, what's the greatest one? What's the big daddy of them all? That's what they want to know. Jesus answered, Jesus said to them, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, we know that, right? That's number one. I do it like this. This is number one. Love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Number one. This is the first and great commandment. But here it's interesting because the next word, do you know what the next word is on this next verse? Does anybody know what it is? Okay, are you ready? We're going to show it. Somebody knew it. Look what it is. And. Oh, what does and mean? And means he's not done. He doesn't want to tell him just the first one. He wants to tell him the second one because the second one is really, really, really important. And so he says, that's the first, but let me tell you something else. And the second is like it. These are really important. God wants you to love him, but God wants you to be responsible for increasing his family. I taught you this. It was one of my points years ago, but I love it. It's still one of my points. God loves a big family. He doesn't want a small family. He loves a big family. So very second, he's like, wait, this isn't, that's the first, but the second, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. How? You ever born over Tommy's? How many like Tommy's? See, that you don't want to raise your hand, but I know you love Tommy's. Okay, anyway. I love Tommy's. You know, I know it's greasy. I know it's not good for you, but I love it. Okay, anyway. I love Tommy's. And so, not all the time, but, you know, a lot. Anyway, moving on. I love Tommy's. So, But I go over to Tommy's, and I don't like onions. How many know I don't like onions, okay? Okay, I always tell them, no cebolla, okay? See, I'm bilingual. That's how come I can say that, because I know. Why are you laughing? Don't laugh at that. That's right, I don't understand why they laugh at that. It's not even funny. Okay, no cebolla, okay? Por favor. See? No cebolla, por favor. Okay, and I say it in English, I say it in Spanish, because I am bilingual, I want to make sure they get it. Here's why. Because, you know what, you can't, how many know most burgers you can take the onions out? How many Thomas burger you cannot take the onions out? Why, because they put them on, then with all the chili, you know what I mean? I'm going home, and I'm so hungry, I hadn't eaten all day. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get Tommy's burger on the way home. I'm not even going to wait till it gets home, which is really dumb, because it's going to get all over you, but I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And I take a bite, but I'm already, like, you know, I'm already gone, you know what I mean? So I take a bite, and there's onions. I'm like, I'm so mad, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have time to go back, and I was like, I'm like, and I started to pick some out, and I'm like, this is stupid, just throw the whole thing away. Anyway, here's a point. Okay, here's the point. When I go to Tommy's, I always say no onions. Always. Why? Because I don't want any onions. But here's the question. Am I going to follow God's word? Am I going to say this? Wait, one more thing. And I want a cheeseburger for my wife. But here's the thing. Before I leave, am I going to say, and I want some peppers? Yeah, that's right. She loves the peppers with the cheeseburger. Okay, she don't mind the onions, but she wants the peppers, right? Okay. Here's the thing. I know you love you, but will you love others? Here's the biggie. As yourself. That's where the rubber meets the road. And God's standard isn't low. As yourself. You know what? And then how many know how many peppers? They give you like three peppers, you know what I mean? Well, that's not enough peppers, you know what I mean? So do I have the integrity before I leave? Do I say, wait, can I have some more peppers? See, I don't want the peppers, and I don't want more peppers, right? But do I love my neighbor as myself? Because let me tell you what, I'm all over the onions, right? All over what I want. Okay, are you learning something? Look at your neighbor, say, he's setting us up. He's setting us up. You know, tell your neighbor, you know he's setting us up. Okay. All right. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, I know the scripture. I know this. It's a love chapter. I know. Okay. Can I teach you something? If one of the problems is with people, Christians, and you think you know something and you do, so you're familiar with that, so automatically you go, I know this. Okay. Can I teach you something? I don't care if you've been coming to church 10 years, 20 years, all your life, don't make it, you know what, 8 months. Even passages, some passages that we know best, we have so much more to learn. And if you'll go to those passages with an openness, you'll keep on learning. Okay, because you know what, the Word of God is always pregnant with revelation. Okay, so look at this, and here's my point here. Understand, this is God's definition of what love is. He's going to tell us what love is, and nowhere in this definition does he talk about how we feel. Oh, I feel in love, and I'm so in love with you. Why are you in love? Because you make me feel. Can I tell you what? I'm not saying that you can't feel in love. Here's what I'm saying. We have taken that as a definition. And that is a very shallow definition of love. So Jesus, God, says, no, love suffers long and is kind. What is suffering long? Here's what suffered long means. And here's what I want you to notice. Love does something. Say, love does something. It can feel, that's true, but it does. It's proactive. I like to say it like this. Love is a verb. Say, love is a verb. What's a verb? A verb is an action word. You know what? John ran to the car. Where's the verb? Ran. Oh, you guys are okay, great. Okay. You all know I graduated from, you know what, Pioneer High School, okay? All right. Love is a verb. Anyway, moving right along. Proud to be a Titan. Moving right along. Here's what I'm saying. That love suffers long. What is suffering long? It does something. What does suffer long mean? Here's what suffer long means. When you're in the grocery store and you got an older lady in front of you and she's looking for a coupon, a 35-cent coupon, and she can't find it. I know it's here. It's hers on here. I know it's hers. And you're like, lady, I'll give you 35 cents. I got to go. Okay. Can I tell you what? You're not walking in love right now. Because let me tell you what love does. Love suffers long. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll show it to you in a minute. But notice every one of these, even if it says love doesn't do that, there's a reciprocal of what love does. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. Somebody else is blessed. You're like, ooh, why do I? No. Be happy for them. Yeah. That's what love does. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. You know what I mean? You can sing good. Praise God you can sing good. Why are you acting like you did something for that voice? You didn't do anything. God just blessed you in that voice. Amen? You know how to do math real good? Don't walk around like, man, all these other people are stupid, but I know how to do algebra. No, don't act like that. Amen? Why are you acting like you, what do you think? I mean, and great, it's good that you worked on that, but why are you acting like you just did that, you just were born. That's all you were doing. Amen? How many know there's things that just come easy to you? You're like, I don't know where I got this. I know where you got it. The Bible said all good things come from God. So why are you acting like, no. Love doesn't parade itself. Ooh, I can, you know what I mean? No. You're that way because God blessed you with that. Don't parade yourself. Be humble. You know, it's not puffed up. You know, oh, look, you don't want to. No. Next. Next. It does not behave rudely. You know, it does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. These are all things that it is doing. It's proactive. Thinks no evil. I'm repeating what I've said before because repetition is motor learning. And this is one of the things that God has instructed me. We have to get this one. Love is no evil. Love thinks no evil. I know why they did that. I know why they did that. I know why she did that. I know why. Here, I love you guys. Can I tell you what? No, you don't. You don't know. No, I do. I'm smiling, right? You don't. You think you do. No, let me tell you why I know. Because they always do that, and this happened, and I knew, because she said this, and blah, blah, blah. Hey, listen, you could be right. You could be right. But you could be wrong. Love doesn't think evil. We don't judge motive. When do we judge motive? Never. Come on, everybody. When do we judge motive? We don't ever judge motive. I'm telling you what, if you get anything this year, you know what, from Hope, get this one. Don't judge motive. Your life will get way, way happier. And people will be attracted to you. You know what, like a magnet, exactly. Okay, so but here's my point. Love does something. Ever say love does something? Not talking about feeling, talking about what it does. And then last but not least, this is a crazy, crazy. How many know there's scripture and you just look at it and you go, that's crazy hard. Amen? Well, can I tell you what? God will help you. God will help you. Rejoice. No. Go to the Colossians scripture. Colossians. Oh. No, don't go to the Colossians scripture because it's not in Colossians. It's Philippians. Sorry. Go to Philippians scripture. Let nothing be done selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness. Lowliness is not a word that we even use very. You know, hey, I'm gonna be lowly today. You're like, well, what? You're going to be what? You know what I mean? It's an English word, but we don't use it very often. Well, we don't use it very often, I believe, because the Bible says in the last days, men will become lovers of self, not lovers of God. They'll be boastful. They'll be prideful. You know what? So we don't use that word. It's not a good word. We hardly use it. But Bible uses it. And Philippians says, but with all lowliness of mind, let. Let is a act of your will. You've got to decide to do this. Listen, it doesn't come naturally to your flesh to do what he's asking you to do. So you've got to make a decision to do this. Let each, you know what each means? Somebody say, each means me. Come on, say, each means me. God is speaking to you today. Each means there's no exception. You're like, oh, don't play dodgeball. When you come to church, don't play dodgeball. You know what I mean? Ooh, that was good. That was good for my wife. You know what I mean? Ooh, that's good for my cousin. You know what I mean? That's good for, no. He has ears, let him hear. Hear what God is saying to you. Here, this is deep. Everybody grab your ears. Come on. Notice your ears, this is deep, are you ready? Are on your head. I told you it was deep. I told you it's deep. They're on your head. Okay? That's to go in your mind. Amen. You're like, oh, this is my wife. You know what I mean? You're like, oh man, I hope John was there today. You know what I mean? I hope Frank was there today. I hope you were here today. Amen. Because you can't hear the message for Frank or John or Fred or your neighbor or your spouse. This is for you. Each esteem others. This is the radical part. Better than yourself. Listen, I might forget to say no onions, but I better not forget to say, make sure we have some peppers and give me extra peppers. Okay. Is this good? Can we say corporately, this is good stuff? Can we say corporately, this is how we ought to act? Okay. Now, Tamara, get ready with your phone. I'm going to show you at least one survey, maybe two. Because we need to act a certain way. How many of you, and our first service was nice and full, the service is even more full, but how many know we still have some seats that we can fill? How many would like to see this place packed out? I mean, packed out. Okay. Well, I'm going to give us this opportunity. Because here's what one survey said. I read it this morning. And these aren't just, you know, surveying 20 people. This is a good statistical survey. And this survey said this, that most of the people who are unchurched, here's what they think about people who go to church. One of the things they said about them is this, that they are hypocritical. How many know I'm not negative? How many know you don't come to church and I'm like, yeah, you're bad, you're all going to hell. How many know? We ain't going, not this church, you know what I mean? We're gonna call you up. I've said it before, we're gonna call you up, we're not gonna call you out. We're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to convict. I'm just pointing out what these people, we need to know. Sometimes it's good, we taught it, it's good to know the score. Good to see what's going on, what they really think. And so here's what most people that don't go to church think about people who go to church. They think they are hypocrites. Okay? And so it's really important that we take what they think and are able to turn it around. Let me give you one more story and then I'll cite another survey. Tamara and I are going to another church. I get this thing in the mail. It says, hey, Azusa Pacific, their drama team has got this drama they've been working on all summer, and they're going around different churches, and you can invite them to your church. Well, we didn't have, it was before Esperanza. We were doing Esperanza Sunday night. I thought, man, that would be awesome. It was a comedy. I love comedy. So let's have a play. Come, they're, you know what, these college students, they can come, bless us. I thought it was a great idea. But before I had them come, I wanted to see the play because you never know, you know, how appropriate or inappropriate is. Good Shepherd, I'm going to listen to it before I give it to you guys. So we went, Rebecca went with us. We go to this church, true story. I wish this wasn't true, true story. Well, where was that church? None of your bizwax, like my mom used to tell me. None of your bizwax. But it's not to be negative towards a church. It's to observe what happened. Here's what happened, real time. We go into this church, and here's the weird thing. I love church. Like, I've gone to church ever since I was little. My father was a pastor. I love church. But I remember going to the church, and I felt uneasy. I felt a little scared. I felt uncomfortable. And as I'm going in, I'm thinking, man, why am I feeling that? You know what I mean? It wasn't hope. And for those of us who are going to hope every single week, we're like, no, our church is awesome and everybody's friendly and blah, 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 blah. And well, of course, because it's our church. But here's what I'm asking. Can you remember how you felt the very first time you went to hope? And I'm asking with hands, did any of you feel a little nervous, a little uneasy, a little scared, a little any of that? Can you raise your hand if you remember feeling any of those? Now raise your hand real high and look around the room. Okay, here's what I'm saying. You can put your hands down. We have to recognize that, and here's what happened. And nobody in that church did anything to help us feel more comfortable. We walked in. There was people talking, three groups of people talking. They were talking to each other. Nobody stopped their talking to say hi to us. Okay, nobody did that. We walked in. We sat as close as we could. We didn't sit on the front row. There were some people in front of us, but we sat on the third row, and nobody turned around and welcomed us. Well, that's okay. I'm not, you know, negative or anything. It's all right. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Then on intermission, because they had a break in the play, Tamara and Rebecca went to get a lollipop or a, they had a, I don't know, some pops they were selling. And they got back, and I'm curious now. I said, did anybody say hi to you? Both of them said, no one. It was over. We left. We're living, and people are talking, people are talking, people are talking. Nobody stopped and said, hey, welcome to, I'm bringing this up, making this up, Valley Spring, you know what? We don't say hi, church, to you. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. And you know what? It was. I'm telling you the truth. It was so weird. If the pastor would have been by my car and would have said, we got you, punked, we punked you, you know what I mean? Ah, it's on you. You thought we weren't friendly. I'm serious. It was so the opposite that it was almost unbelievable that coincidentally somebody couldn't say hi to us. Now, let me tell you what. When you come for the first time, we do send you something in the mail, just like I told you, you know, telling you about all the things. But we also send you a self-addressed stamped envelope, postcard. And we on the back of that, it's got a picture of Hope, because I want you to identify who you came, where you came. You came to this church. You can see it by the picture. But the backside, it has questions. And here's our questions. What did you notice first? What did you like the best? What didn't you like about our church? And do you have any other comments? Can I tell you the number one comment that they make about our church? Second number one, they notice the excellence and the cleanliness of our church. That's huge. And we do that. We're very purposeful in how this church looks. That's not that. That's an act of love, and I could explain that to you at another time. But the number one thing that they say is, we noticed your church was so friendly. That's a great thing. Number one thing, we get that comment, what did you notice first? That's what they notice first. Huge. So I'm not saying, you guys, you know what, we're like that church. Nobody says we got to stop. No. That's not what I'm saying. You guys do a great job. But I'm going to challenge you today to do some things that probably every single one of you aren't doing. I got a list of, I think, whatever, 8 things, and I'll go through them quickly. But listen, don't play dodgeball. And recognize today is a day that I'm going to push you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Amen? Now, let me go back to the original question. Would you do something, and that small thing could make a huge difference in somebody's life? Would you be willing to do that small thing? Yes. I'm setting you up. See, now I notice you're like, oh, wait a minute, Pastor. No, say yes. Say yes, absolutely. Say, Pastor, absolutely I would. Come on, I won't say it. Pastor, absolutely we would. Can we make people, watch this, can we make people that are going to walk through that door next week, could we do some small things that would have huge consequences in their life? What if we made them feel extra special and that's all they needed to come back a second time? What if we could do something that would change their thought? Remember we talked about that these people think that we're hypocritical? What if we could, in our action, not in our words, in our actions, we could do something that would make them go, wow, trip out. Those people were nice. Yeah. Can we do that? Should we do that? Will we do that? Well, let's look at the list real quick, and I believe we will. I believe we will. I believe we will. Okay. Number one, park far. Wait a minute, Pat. No. No, no, no. So, you know what? Okay. Everybody say park far. Okay. Park far. Why do I want you to park far? Because where's the best? When you go to Walmart, do you go to Walmart and think, man, you know, you're driving, man, I hope I get a far parking space today. Does anybody think that? No. The best parking space are the closed parking spaces. Amen? Park far. Everybody say park far. Yo, but Pastor Lone, would you be willing to do something to make a huge difference in somebody else's life? One of the things that I'm still working it through, one of the things that I want to do is I want to have this, what we'll call guest parking or first-time people parking. Something like, I don't know what we'll call it. And we'll mark these 10 spots right up close. Why would you do that? And here's what I want. I want the people who wave you in. And all they do right now is just smile. You know what I mean? But here's what I want them to do. I want them to just stop the car. Obviously, you know what? If they see Fred, they're not going to stop Fred. You know what I mean? But if they don't recognize you, I want them to stop the car. And when you pull your window down, I want them to say, is it your first time here? And if they say, yes, it is, I want them to say, oh, that's awesome. We're so welcome to Hope. And give them a bright orange card and say, just put this in the park in your dash. We have some special parking for you. Amen. What if those people, how would have you felt if you would have gotten that when you first came? Yeah, cool. Wow, this is kind of cool. You know what? It's so nice. You ever gone to a baseball game, okay? And you know what? It's crazy. You know what? Especially if you go to Dodger Stadium, you pay like $30 for parking. It's like, are you cracked? You know what I mean? But then, and you're trying to find parking. You know what I mean? I'm slamming on the Dodgers a little bit. But you know what? But I should have $30 a park. Okay, I'm exaggerating. 20. Ridiculous. Anyway, you know what? And then you're parking totally far. You know what? Tamara's boss sometimes gives me tickets to the Angels. And what I, amen, I'm just saying, he does. And here's what I'm saying. No haters out there. Okay, here's what I'm saying. All I'm saying, how can you hate a team that's the Angels? You know what I mean? Even their name is godly. Amen? Hey, make sure you tell Steve this. Even their name is godly. Anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, it's so nice because not only are the tickets like totally awesome, totally close, but I get this parking pass. So I get this parking pass. Everybody, you know, I give it to the person, and he says, put your flashers on. I don't even know where the flashers are. Here's all. They're right there. Boom. He knows where they are. Boom. And guess what I'm doing? I'm going to the good parking. You know what I mean? Okay. Listen, what if we could park far that somebody else could park close? I told you we're going to push you a little bit. What if, and I'm not, you know, it's going to sound like I'm ripping for all the people that are sitting in the back rows, okay? And praise God, I love you. Maybe I am a little bit, but I'm just asking, okay? If most people come for the first time, where do they think the best seats are? They think the best seats are in the back. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to park far, number B, follow me, guys, and I want you to sit close. Let's say that together. Park far, sit close. Let's sing it together. Park far, sit close. Some of you didn't sing it, okay? Anyway, moving right along. Park far, sit close, okay? Number three. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Can I stay on the sit close, park far, sit close? Many people who come for the first time, they come late. Some of you, if you come late, you know what? We're going to pray for you after the service. Anyway, notice at Hope we start on time. Amen. We say 9/11, we're going to start 9/11. It has to do with our you know what, the integrity of our church. But many times they come late. And they come late, think about this, and they're already a little uncomfortable. Remember how you felt the first time? And all the back seats are filled. So now what they have to do, you're here, imagine this, you're here for the first time, and here's what they have to do. They have to come. Hello? How do you think they feel at this point? They have to come like this, you know what? And they have to, I guess I'll sit next to this lady. Not that it's not wonderful to sit next to this lady, because the truth is, I can't think of anybody better to sit with than this lady. It's not about that. You know what it's about? It's about they have to sit next to this lady, and they have to come all the way up front to, yeah, the walk of shame. And why? Because they're late, and they already feel, you know what? And all I'm saying is, what if we all sat close? What if we all parked far so they could park close? And what if we all sat close so they could sit far? Because that's where they think the best seats are. Now, let me push you a little bit. Well, Pastor, this is where I sit. This is where I always sit. I like sitting back here. Do I need to go back to the Philippian scripture? See, I am smiling. But think about this. What in the world, be ready to say amen for this. What in the world are these commandments getting to us and then we're not going to do them? It doesn't make any sense. And I know this is challenging to you, but I'm saying, guys, this is like just basic Christianity. This is Christianity 101. Park far, sit close. You know what? Somebody who's coming to the church, let's roll out the red carpet to them, and not just in our words. Can I show you? Guys, be ready to go to number 3. You need to be flowing with me today. Go to the example of the wordies. The wordies. You know what the wordies are? Yeah, those are wordies, okay? So this guy did a statistical, scientific survey, cross-referenced, or I don't know what they say, but anyway, scientific, of people who go to church and what they think about church, and people who don't go to church and what they think about church. And then what he did to make you see it is he used these words, and so these words were representation of, like in this example, almost 100% of these people said community is something that they call church. Does that make sense? The littler the word is, the less people ever describe church that way, statistically. Does that make sense? The words, the size of the words represent a higher representation. One of these groups is people who go to church, and one of these groups are people who don't go to church. Guess which one is what? The top one. Do you think that's people who go to church or don't go to church? Okay, if you said don't go to church, that's right. The bottom one were people who go to church. Now, there are some similarities. Do you see those similarities? Community, that's a similarity. But when I looked at this, can I tell you what freaked me out? I looked at it and I saw something that freaked me out. People who go to church, look how big love is, the word love. Now, here's my question. Can you find the word love up there? Yeah. You know what freaks me out? Do you see how small love is? Here's what I'm saying. You know what we're going to do at Hope this next year? We are going to change this size. And people who are outside the church, they're going to start to find out that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. Can you say amen to this? It's not, you know what, it's not about how, it's about a practical, when they can park close, and when they can sit in what they consider the best seats. Can I tell you the truth is, these are the best seats. I'm just saying. Why are these the best seats? I've taught you this before, but there's always new people here at the church, so I'll teach you why these are the best seats. These are the best seats because Tamara is less distracted than somebody else on the second row. Why? Because she has less distractions. Where's the second best seats? Second row. They still have distractions, but they have less. And each row that you go back are more distractions. I learned that. Got a small book when I went to college, How to Study, taught me that. And ever since that time, if we go to a conference, Tamara and I aren't. You know, I go to Christian conferences sometimes, and it trips me out how the people who've been to church many, many years, they take the back rows. I don't take the back row. I take the front row. Let me tell you why. Because I'm serious about the things of God. Because I know the one thing that will change my life more than anything else is the anointed word of God. And here's what I know too. I know the word of God. The Bible says, when does Satan come? He comes when the word of God is taught. And he comes immediately. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to get you distracted. I'm going to focus in on the teacher because that's what I need. I don't need a good burrito. I don't need, you know what? I don't need a good plan. I need God's plan. That's what I need. Amen. And so this is a teaching center. Some of you, the first time you never heard that. You know what I mean? You know, I learned that in college. You know what I mean? And I said, no, I'm going to sit in the front row. And if that's true in college, it's really true when I come to service. Number one, park far. Number two, sit close. Number three, be friendly. Amen. Right. Smile, be nice. Amen. Amen. Be nice. Be friendly. You know, a smile is like really nice. Okay? Be friendly. Number four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Be really friendly. What does that mean? That means smile again. Be nice. It means, you know what? Here's what it means. It means don't just smile, but get to ask the person's name. Hey, what's your name? You know what? Hey, how long you been coming to Hope? Oh, I've been coming 3 months. Man, I haven't had the privilege to get to know you. My name is Drew. Nice to meet you. You know, be nice. You know what? Hey, do you like, what are we serving? Green, what? Green, you like pozole? I love pozole. Dude, let me buy you some pozole today. Amen. See, don't just be nice. Be really nice. Be really nice. Listen, we got a shot. These people are coming through those doors. I don't want to be nice to them. I want to be really nice to them. Amen. Amen. All right. Number one, park far. Number two, sit close. Number three, be friendly. Number four, be really friendly. Number five, don't be so friendly. Pastor, I don't understand. What do you want me to be? Friendly? Really friendly? Not friendly? Okay, let me tell you what that means. Most of you are sitting next to someone that you know. How many sitting next to somebody that you know? Okay, right. Some of you are sitting next to somebody that you know and somebody that you don't know. So here's what happens. You know what? Isaac is up here, you know what? And he's leading and he's calling us, you know what? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? All can see how great is our God. Listen, can I tell you what? We're not just having a service to have a service. We're having a service to connect people with God. And where are you sitting? See, love is an action. I'm giving you practical things. And we're next to somebody, and we're next to our bro. We're next to our spouse. We're next to somebody who we love. And you know what? And we're just like, oh, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I love this song. I love this song. I remember when I was in third grade, and the power of the Holy Spirit moved on us, and it was awesome at camp, and I was down on my face, and I was crying. Hello? Don't be so friendly. Okay. Why? Let me tell you what. Because you got somebody else sitting on that side. You got Isaac and the worship team, and I've encouraged them, and they come to practice, and the whole point is they need to connect to God. Listen, and I love every single one of you. But in our being friendly, see, this is our house. Amen. How many know this is our house? You know what I mean? And so in our house, we just, how many know in your house, you might, you know, you're so comfortable, you just kick your shoes off. You know what I mean? Hello? You know what? That's not good. Yeah, yeah, but it's my house. Yeah, but your feet stink. But your feet stink. Amen? What you doing? Amen? You got somebody in your house. Keep your shoes on. Amen? Here's all I'm saying. You listen. You know the Holy Spirit is a spirit of control.
That's right.
You don't have to say everything that comes to your mind during praise and worship. There's a time. There's an appropriate time. And during praise and worship, and I even get on the ushers a little bit for this, because you know what? Because there's people. You know, I'll get anybody on this, especially if I know them real good. You know what I mean? Amen. And sometimes, you know what? And I was able to use George as an example of the first service because I know he's mature enough for me to use him for example. But sometimes George will say something to me. You know what I mean? In the past, he's, hey, dude, you know, and I'll say, because I love George and I know George. You know what? Hey, can I don't be so easily offended. Amen. Oh, somebody say, here, I'll say amen to that. Amen, Pastor. That's good. Okay. Don't be easily offended. Amen. The Bible says love is not easily offended. You know what I mean? But I have a relationship with George, so I can tell George, hey, shh, shh, shh. Tony, how many times have I told you? You know what? You're in the back and you're saying something to me. It's a praise and worship. And I was like, why? Here's why. Here's why. Because listen, there's times it's inappropriate. Just because you have something to say, particularly during the praise and worship, and also during the preaching of the Word of God, you don't have to tell your neighbor, your best friend that you grew up with, everything that you're thinking. You don't have to do a running commentary about the sermon. Amen? 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 If you're on Facebook, you can do that. Man, I love this part. You know, that's fine. But don't do that during the service. And here's why. Because that person next to you, you know what? They're going through something, and you're going to hinder them from focusing. Remember when Satan comes? Here's where he comes. He comes immediately as the word is being taught. Because here's what he wants. If he can get them distracted, then the seed doesn't even go in. I mean, it's hard to, you know what, to pull up a big old, you ever get weeds, you're not paying attention, they get all crazy on you, you know what I mean? But how many know it's easy? How many know it's easy? Yeah, somebody can relate. I mean, how many know it's easy sometimes just to not ever get the weeds? Satan doesn't want that big thing. So what he does during the preaching of the word, and guys, I love you, but sometimes, you know what, you can be the a tool for the enemy to use because you're not being, you're not deciphering what time it is. You know what time it is? It's time to be real quiet. It's time to focus in with Isaac and to worship. And to exalt him. It's not time to talk. Okay. And let me tell you what that's going to do. When that person's coming in for the first time, you know what? I had a lady just last week. You know what? She said, Drew, when I came to your church, Pastor, when I came to your church, it was so awesome. You know what? I looked over, and there was just an anointing in praise and worship. And I looked over, and my husband had his hands raised. It was awesome. And then I looked over at my son, had his hands raised. I'm like, oh, this place is awesome. You know what? We have to protect that powerful anointing that we have in praise and worship. And the same thing with the word. You don't have to always say, I mean, you can say amen and yes and way to go and, you know, preach a pastor or whatever. But I'm talking about just, you don't have to make comments all throughout. You've got to recognize you have your best friend next to you, but you got somebody else. You got people all around you, behind you. And you think that they're not noticing. They're all noticing. And you're distracting them. Amen? I am smiling right now. Okay. Well, let me ask the question again. What if we did something? Would you be willing to do something? A little thing, but that little thing could change somebody's life in a radical way. Would you do it? That's my question. Will you park far? Will you sit close? Will you discern what time it is? Even if that means that you can't tell your friend everything that you think in your head. Um, Will you go to the next one? Skip that one. Will you remember? Can you remember this? One person per chair. Everybody say one person per chair. What do I mean? Well, here's what I mean. You get that shot. You get that, you know. Listen, look at your neighbor and say, you're not camping. What was camping mean? You know when you go camping? You go camping and you have your spot and you put the tent up and you put the tent out and then you put your chairs out and then you're camping. You're putting all the stuff. You put the stove there. You got the lantern. You're like, you know what? Some of you come to church and you think you're camping. Amen. You know what? You got your chair, but then you put your Bible on this one. You put your pen on that. You put your coat on three ones over. You know what I mean? You're camping. Some of you, I see you moving stuff. Even right now, you're like, oh, Pastor, I'm busted. Amen. Listen, I'm not looking. We're all guilty of this. All I'm saying is, let me give you an example. You know what? Last week, somebody's coming in, and they come in this way, and I'm going to tell the sound something that was in my head. So I'm going back there, and I meet them right back there in the corner, and I can tell they can't find a seat. I can't find a seat. And all I'm saying is, praise God that God is filling this place. You know what? I'm going to share it with you next week. Don't miss next week, because I'm going to show you. We're going to do this outdoor thing that is so bomb. It is as outstanding as anything that you've seen at Disneyland. Amen. How many know Disneyland does some things with excellence? How many know we ought to do some things with excellence? Amen. But it's an outdoor fellowship hall. We're going to be able to seat 200. It's going to be a 280-seat overflow area that we can do whatever we want. You know what? We could put screens down. We could watch the Super Bowl next year in our outdoor foyer. It's going to be the bomb. You know, Pastor, why would you do that? You know what I mean? I'll tell you why I did. I'd do that so quick it'd make your head spin. Why? Because we'd have all kinds of men that would never come to church. Get ready to say amen. That would come to church. And what are they going to learn? They're going to learn that, you know what, that church people, you know what, aren't so weird. Listen, and you think I'm going to get 180 men at the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to say, hey, by the way, you know what, I just want to let you know, I don't know what you're going through. But I'll tell you this, and I'll share with them some things that I've gone through in my life, where areas where they can connect. You know what? You think I won't do that? And I say, by the way, you know what? Can I tell you what? Men, you're called for excellence. See, these are things that just resonate in men. And then I'll say, and by the way, I want to teach on excellence. I want to teach you how to be excellent, and I'm going to be teaching on this next Sunday. You know what? Come here. You know what? 9 and 11 o'clock. Because we're doing what we're going to do church, but I'm going to teach on excellence. You think I wouldn't do that? I'll do that so fast it'll make your head spin. You know what I mean? And they don't care. I don't care who's playing. Rams, Raiders, Falcons, Patriots. You know what? I mean, even the Chargers. I don't care. That was a joke. Okay. Anyway, here's my point. My point is that we've got to be practical. Listen, if you have a purse, you know what? Put it underneath your chair. You know what I mean? Put your Bible on your lap. Recognize that if you have three things there, that person, somebody else can't sit there. You know what? You say, but Pastor, there's plenty of room. Faith will put your purse under your chair, because we need every chair we got. I'm going to say it again. Get ready to say amen. Because we need every chair we got. Amen. Amen? Okay. And then two more and I'll stop. Everybody say sit and serve. Okay. So let me give you an analogy. You're like a sponge. You're like a sponge. And here's what happens. A sponge is designed and it takes in water. But at some point in time, the sponge can't take in any more water. And in order for that sponge to take in any more water, you have to wring it out. Okay. You are like a sponge. You are never designed to come to church and hear and hear and hear and hear that there would never be any wringing out. One thing I noticed, some of the people that come up to me after, you know, Daniel's a great example. Daniel comes up to me after this sermon, and he'll be like totally passionate. He's like, Pastor, that was such an awesome sermon. That was so awesome. Can I tell you one of the reasons my sermons are so awesome? Here's why. Because Daniel wrings out the sponge every week. He understands. He's not called just to soak. Come in week after week, get more information. That's not the point of Christianity. That's not the point of church. Paul says this. He says, how is it when you come, when each one of you come, you should have a song, you should have a hymn, you should have something that you give. You should be prepared to give. You should have a systematic plan. We have a systematic plan at Hope. It's called this: sit and serve. We have a church, we have a service at 9 and 11. And I don't care whether you sit and serve or whether you serve and sit. It doesn't make any difference. Exactly. And we have a service at 6 o'clock. So we have two opportunities for you to serve. All I want you to do is learn to that you're not, there was an example of one Christian man. He's sitting on the front row, and there's a big service going on. And in the service, there's a break in the service, and he sees these people. What he sees is these people, and they're all, he's getting a vision from the God. And he sees the people, but he doesn't see them like he sees them. He sees them, and they all have these huge heads. But their bodies are anorexic. How many know that would freak you out if you're sitting there and you all of a sudden everybody's, you know, like that. And he's freaking out because these are people that are walking by him. And they're real people, but he sees them this way. And he's freaking out. He's saying, God, what are you showing me? He says this, I'm showing you the condition of the church. Here's what's going on. People are getting more and more and more knowledge. But they're anorexic in their body because they don't apply anything that they're learning. So they're not doing anything. And when you're not doing anything, you ever see somebody and they're in bed for a long time and their legs get all really, really skinny because they're not using their muscles. He said, I'm showing you the condition of the church. And we have made a decision at Hope. Listen, we love every single one of you. We want every single one of you to come and come again and come again, and come again. But here's what I know. If all you're doing is coming and hearing, it's only a matter of time before your sponge will get all full. And you'll walk away and you'll say, and here's what you'll say. It's so ironic. You'll say, you know what? I don't know what's going on at that church, but pastor doesn't feed me anymore. They're not really teaching the word of God. I don't know. I gotta look somewhere else. And you'll go to some other church, and that will be novel because you'll be, oh, like this pastor's got it going on. That pastor don't got it going on. You're just trying to get more in your sponge. But you need to wring your sponge out. I said, Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Let me be more direct. Do something. Don't just come and sit. Sign up today. Get involved. And what I'm talking about, get involved, I'm talking about get a weekly service that you do something every week. I need people. I need parking lot attendants. I need ushers. I need people in the kids' room. What do you think? We're going to grow, and then we don't need support staff for all this? Volunteer support staff? I need all kinds of things. Here's the beautiful thing. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it will come back. Listen, if all you're doing is sitting, you're tapping yourself out. And I can't think of anything, any place better to serve than to serve people in the body of Christ that are coming here. Amen. Okay, last but not least, okay, this is really deep. Everybody say scooch. What is scooch? Here's what I mean by scooch. I want you to scooch in. Not only are the best seats, in people coming for the first time, they think the best seats are in the back. Where else do they think the best seats are? On the aisles. Okay. So here's a great example. You know what? I'll just pick D because I like to pick on D, but I'll pick on D. So D could have sat here. She could have sat here. She could have sat here. Okay. D, is this your stuff? Are you camping today? Okay. That's all right. We're all learning. Amen. Yeah, no judging. Yeah, that's it. Don't judge my motive. Okay, that's good. But watch this. But she didn't sit in any of these seats. She sat here. Okay. Now, if you're on the aisle, it don't mean you're evil. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, but here's what I am saying. Would you be willing to do something little to make somebody else feel special? Okay, and understand, this stuff is nuanced stuff. I'm going to say one more thing, and then then that's going to be it. Excuse me. You go to a restaurant, and when you go to a restaurant, you walk away and you go, wow, this is nice. You take your wife out, and you're walking away, and you say, wow, this place is nice. We got to come back here. Can I tell you why you say that? You don't say that because of one thing. The food was good, but it wasn't, like, fantastic. The music was good, but it wasn't incredible. You know what? You didn't look at the silver and wow, look at how clean the silverware is. You know what I mean? The lighting was nice, but you didn't think it was, but here's what happened. They just did a lot of things right. You ever go to a restaurant and the music's up too loud? And you're like halfway through a conversation, you recognize, man, I'm shouting all, you know what I mean? And you just, could you turn this down a little bit? This is crazy. I can't even talk. Okay. You ever had a waiter and they just kind of come to you like 38 times? And it's like, dude, you know what I'm trying to? You ever go to a restaurant and the silverware's dirty? You just go, ah. You ever gone to a restaurant and by the time you have the food's cold? Here's all I'm saying. All that's happened to us. You ever gone to a restaurant and it's not lit enough? You can't even read what the thing is? You're like, oh, what is this? Okay. Here's all I'm saying. When you leave that restaurant, when you leave this church, you know, nobody's gonna walk in for the first time and go, whoa, there's a seat in the back. I'm coming back to this church. Whoa. They're not going to say that. They're not going to think that. Nobody's going to say the same thing. Whoa, I got a great parking space. They won't even correlate some of these things. But can I tell you what? When we're willing to park far, and that gives them a better chance to have a better parking space, when we're willing to sit close, that they could have those aisles. When we're willing to scooch in, that they could have those side aisles. When we're willing to smile with them. When we're willing to ask them what their name is. When we're willing to say, hey, would you like some pasote today? What can I say? You know, from the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm busted. Okay, anyway. All I'm saying is, when you're willing, and like even that, you know what? What's somebody going to do? Somebody's gonna like, what a dorky dude this guy is. But then we'll laugh. If you're willing to, you know what? If you're willing to do that, can we, I'll ask it and then I'll close. Can we do something, would you be willing to do something little that could have a huge impact in their life? Because that person's coming in, you know what? They already feel uneasy. They already feel uncomfortable. Satan's reminding them of everything that they've done in the last 30 years. Like, and we don't care. We're just happy that they're here. But can we translate our happiness to a little bit of discomfort? A little bit? But Pastor, I always sit here. This is where I always sit. I know. But would you be willing to sit in closer, up closer? Pastor, what? I don't understand. I think you're just preaching to get me to change what I'm doing. Good, good. You, outstanding. That was great. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. But you know what? It's not because I don't love you. And it's not because, you know what? I don't know how long Connie's been going here. I don't know how long, you know what, Marilyn's been going here. Maybe you've been going here a long time. I don't love you any less than anybody else. But I know we ought to be spiritually at a different place than they are. We ought to be the first one to sit in the middle. We ought to be the first ones to sit close. We ought to be the first ones to be far. We ought to be the most friendly. We ought to make them feel that this is an incredible place. And one thing isn't going to do it. But if we do all these things together, trust me, if we can have a spirit, you know what? Let this spirit be in you, which was in Christ. I guarantee if Christ was here, he'd sit far, close. He'd park far. I guarantee he'd invite somebody to eat some. I guarantee you he'd do that. I guarantee you he'd be the most friendly. He would be the first one to sit up front. Are you hearing what God's saying? Let's hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm not saying this. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Here's the only question. You know what? Next week when you come in, will you have the integrity to change what you've done? Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times change is tough. Have the courage to do it. Have the love to do it. Yeah. Bingo.
Amen. The two things that we need to be doing as believers, love the Lord God with our heart, soul, and mind, and love one another like we love ourselves. That's it. And everything is about that. Everything. Everything that we do. I want to read to you a definition of, I don't know if Christian's still here or not. I want to read to you a definition of servant. It says, it's a person who performs duties for others, or a devoted and helpful follower and supporter. I said in the first service, one of the things, we all know this, who was the greatest servant of all? Jesus was. We know the answer because we know that that's in the Word of God. It's what God said. So I want to read to you about this gentleman. His name is Robert Greenleaf. And Robert Greenleaf has an institute even today called the Center for Servant Leaders. And this center is, they train, you know what, big companies, you know what, pay big bucks to have the training. You know what, that is at this institute. Now, let me tell you how it got started. This gentleman, Robert Greenleaf, went to college, and one of his professors, let me read to you what his testimony is. One of his professors said, let's see, it says, one of his professors convinced Greenleaf that large institutions were not doing a good job of serving individuals or larger society. So Bob's mission was to have a career of quiet influence of ideas from inside one of those big businesses. So upon graduating, he ended up getting a job with AT&T. Now he says that where he learned this behavior is from his father. Nowhere in any of his stuff does he give any credit to God or the Word of God or him being a Christian or anything like that. But how many of you know that anything that's in here is the truth?
That's right.
It is just the truth, and it's going to work. And so you can be a total atheist and rip off the wisdom of the Word of God. It's still going to work because God's wisdom is just correct. So this gentleman now has this institute and whatever. So he gets out of college. He gets a job with AT&T. And when he's got a job with AT&T, he says, let me read to you what his whole deal is. He's the one that they give credit to coining the phrase servant leader. He's the one who coined the phrase. He says, what is a servant? What is servant leadership? The servant leader is a servant first, and it begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve and to serve first. I don't know about the natural feeling. It's kind of that's a supernatural thing to put others first, isn't it? It's a supernatural thing that we would put others first, not a feeling. I mean, not a natural feeling. Servant leadership is a philosophy and a set of practices that enriches the lives of individuals, builds better organizations, and ultimately creates more just and caring world. In the Word of God, Jesus talks a ton about being a servant, doesn't he? He's the one who modeled servant leadership, period.
Yes,
if we want to, one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because we want to see the business world has taken this. That gentleman, Robert Greenleaf, he got his job at AT&T, and he began implementing that others were more important than him, and that he was going to be a servant to his department around him. And when he did that, shocker, guess what? His department was jamming. And everyone saw that.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, Robert Greenleaf is being elevated to AT&T corporate headquarters. And then from corporate headquarters, they ended up putting him in charge of all these national trainings for all the Ma Bell. This was all like back in the 70s. And now he's like Mr. Bigwig telling everyone how you can have these successful organizations. And you know how he's telling them to do it? Servant leadership. We have a mentor who mentors us. And one of the things that he said is that the world is much better at putting into practice the truths that are in this word than the church is. And he, being a believer now and a Christian, was in high up corporate Wall Street world business for a long time. And he, you know what he sees? He sees these are, once he became a believer later on, it's like, oh my goodness. We do that, and that's from here. Today, what we're trying to say is, you know what? This was spoken to us. What should be the greatest organization, you know what, of all? The church. We should do this better than anyone else. You know why? Because we are believers. We're Christians. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who will let Jesus be their Lord. In other words, whatever he says, we're all in. And he's our director. So he's going to tell us how it's going to go.
Yes.
How we're going to walk, how we're going to talk, how we're going to act, what we're going to do, the way we're going to think, the way we should think. This is how it goes. Will you put back that wordy thing? Is it called wordy?
Wordy.
A wordy?
Wordies.
Yeah, give me the wordy. I want to see something really quick. I think I saw something. Okay, yeah, this is tripping me out. This is tripping me out. Okay, this is powerful. Can you find Jesus down? Look at the Jesus down here with the church people. Is this about the same as the Jesus up there? And you see the God? You see how the God thing in theirs is even bigger than the God thing in ours? Now remember, the size of the words has to do with the percentage of people who brought that word up when describing. You know what ought to be? You know what ought to be the biggest word down here? The most biggest one should be Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of religions out there, and we all like, and they like to talk about God. But there's only one Jesus. It's only one. And we, as Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ. So shouldn't Jesus be like huge, prominent down here? And I know Jesus is God, but you know what I'm saying? There should be this huge, lot bigger emphasis on the teachings of Jesus Christ and Jesus. It's his blood that makes it all possible. It's all about you, isn't it? Isn't that a song? It's all about you. It's all about you. But that song doesn't reflect, you know what, even the church people, which would give indication maybe we ought to up our game on lordship, which is really what we're saying. Let's up our game on lordship. Let's do it just exactly like Jesus said to do it. You know what? One and two. Love our God and love others more than we love ourselves. So that we can, you know what, let everyone that the Spirit of God is drawing see the church that God intended to be. Amen? And the people who are God's people. And how do they find God? You know how they find him, truthfully? Through us. We are his hands, his arms, his feet, his mouth. We are his witnesses. That's who we are. So it's why it's so important that we grasp this. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, my dad used to tell me, we owned a grocery store. And so I was as young as 8 years old, and that's what we did. We got done at school, and we came to the grocery store, and we worked. It's just what we did. And sometimes me and my brothers and sisters would be standing around talking and whatever, and my dad would come along and say, "What are you doing?" I say, "Well, we're just talking." "Well, why aren't you working?" We say, "We're done." And he said, "No, there's always something to be done. You're not done. Come with me." And then we would go and start doing whatever it is that he told us to do. Today, for us, the humble thing is to say, wherever we're at, I guarantee you we could up our game. I guarantee you every one of us could take wherever we're at and make others more important. Whatever our love walk is, and make it bigger. Amen? And so let's do that, and let's have that success in the church that the world has been tasting for a long time. You know what? Because there's no better, there's nothing more valuable than people. There just isn't. And so here's where it should be implemented before anywhere else. Amen?